You're listening to Talking Buildings, the podcast related to all things about the built environment. Here is your host, Paul Angus.
Today on Talking Buildings, we're in the heart of Sydney, which needs no introduction to our global listeners. You're in for a real treat today as we have a very, very special guest joining us. I'm really pleased that Kevin Mitchell, SIBSE President and Mott MacDonald Divisional Director and Global Practice Leader in Building Services Engineering, has joined us today. I have to say, this is the first time one of our guests has flown halfway around the world to join the SIBSE Australia New Zealand Talking Buildings podcast. Welcome to Sydney, and thank you for joining us today, Kevin.
Well, thanks ever so much for inviting me to be here today, Paul. It's brilliant. I've really enjoyed the last 24 hours in Sydney, and I'm looking forward to the rest of my time in Sydney as well. So thank you very much.
Fantastic. Kevin is the Global Practice Leader for Building Services Engineering at Mott MacDonald, and he's the President of SIBSE. Over a period of 30 years, Kevin has worked as a consulting engineer in various sectors in the UK, North America, the Middle East, and Asia, where he's gained extensive experience of how to contribute to the design of buildings that work for the people that they serve. Understanding the links that exist between thermal comfort and air quality, plus well-being and productivity, is of particular interest to Kevin, and this interest has a significant influence on his career. At Mott MacDonald, Kevin provides overall professional and technical excellence leadership to the building services practice with team members based around the globe. A passionate advocate of the development of innovative and building services engineering solutions, Kevin has an active involvement with SIBSE throughout his career and has had particular close involvement with SIBSE ASHRAE Group, including Young Engineers Awards, since the inception in 1996. Kevin is the current SIBSE president and has been on a recent tour of the Asia-Pacific region. A warm welcome to the hot seat, Kevin, and once again, thank you very much for taking the time out of your hectic schedule down under. Thank you very much for joining us on this session, Kevin. You've certainly enjoyed an inspiring career journey and gained a lot of experience along the way. I understand when you completed your mechanical degree that you were steering your career aspirations towards working at a sports car manufacturer. For the benefit of our listeners, can you let us know how did it all start for you?
Oh, well, yeah, that's a very memorable time in my life. For my final year project doing pure mechanical engineering, I did an integrated project with a colleague from the School of Electrical Engineering for a sports car manufacturer. Okay. Yeah. And it was an engine diagnostic tool.
Yes.
And it was a great project, really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And looking at the engine performance and how to monitor that performance, and bearing in mind, this is back in the late 80s, so it's all pretty cutting edge stuff. So I had the project assessed by the university and also by the manufacturer, the car manufacturer.
Yeah.
And they thought it was really good, really exciting. So I was really gunned up for having a career with this company. So rather chuffed for myself. I went back home, went to the rugby club, and talking to a few people at the bar there about this great opportunity.
Yeah.
And one guy piped up and says, Kevin, you really don't want to do that. You'll end up designing exhaust pipes for the rest of your life.
Okay.
So he said, I said, don't be silly. No, you can't. He said, no. You know, come and have a chat with me in my office. He said, you know, I'm a partner with a building services company.
Yeah.
And be a building services engineer, Kevin, believe me, and you'll have a fantastic career. You'll be involved with projects of great variety from different industries and all the way around the world.
Yeah.
So I thought about what he said, and of course, it sounded really, really exciting. So, and the guy's name was Alan Knight, and needless to say, I actually went along to his office, had a chat, and he gave me my first break in building services engineering.
Fantastic, fantastic story. If you could go back and give your 18-year-old self one piece of advice, what would it be?
Oh, well, that's interesting. I guess mainly it's to be open to new ideas and to alternative routes and not to be too single-minded and too focused on any one potential route in your life and for your career. So, yeah, be open to opportunities, really.
Of it. So isn't it funny that you mentioned that one chance meeting with Alan Knight changed your life completely. What a great example of a sliding doors moment. Similar to yourself, I had a mindset on becoming a sound engineer, would you believe?
Right.
Which is probably where this podcast interest comes from as well.
Brilliant.
Although my sliding door moment was actually when my dad suggested to get a trade and become a plumber. So that's where it all began for me, and I've never looked back.
Brilliant.
So I have a long list of mentors and industry colleagues who have played a significant role in nurturing my career in the consulting industry for the better, and I've been paying it forward ever since to inspire engineers of the future. I'm aware that one of your key messages is calling for engineers who were supported at the beginning of their careers to pay it forward and inspire the next generation. So how important is it for you to pay it forward, and what advice would you give anyone who's inspired from hearing your story?
Well, I personally, I think it is so, so important. You know, whoever we are, whatever stage of the career we're in, we are actually setting an example, and we're a role model for someone else. I had a wonderful meeting this morning for my day job at Mott MacDonald with some of the ECPs, the early career professionals. Some have been with Mott's for 4 years, some for 2 years, some for 4 weeks. And to each of them, I was saying, you know, you are inspiring someone else. So for, you know, for the ones who have been there for 3 or 4 years, they're inspiring the ones who have been there for 2 years. And equally for the people who have just joined. And equally for the people who just joined Mott's 2 or 3 weeks experience. However, to some of their old student mates, they're an example and an inspiration to those who are still studying. So I think we all have a role to play here. We can all inspire others, and we can all support others in their personal development. So so my big message is, don't think it's just for the grey-haired people like me. You know, we can all get involved and support someone else. And that support, especially in an early stage of your career, is so, so important. It really does shape the person you become in next stages of your career.
100%. So, tell me about the three most influential people in your life and how they impacted you in your career.
Well, three. Well, genuinely, there's so many people who have really influenced me, you know, personally and professionally. But I guess if I had to boil it down to three, I think the first person would be my dad. Now, my dad introduced me to the wonderful world of engineering. You know, when I was a young kid, I lived in a part of the UK, the county of Cornwall. Cornwall, far southwest of the country. And that county was able to survive on tin mining, so very well known for mining, and also very much connected to the rest of the UK by the rail system and the bridges that were designed and engineered by Isambard Kingdom Brunel. So, and also, although many people might find this hard to believe, but the very first working railway was designed by a Cornishman, Richard Trevithick, so from where I was brought up as a kid. So, my dad introduced me to this wonderful world of engineering, and, you know, what a wonderful world it is. As the song goes. Now, so the second person, I mean, has to be my wife.
Simone.
So Simone has always supported me. Yeah, she's always encouraged me to believe in myself and also to follow my dreams. So, you know, within my career, you know, I've had the real privilege of being able to move and work around the world. And you can't do that if your family isn't willing to come with you and willing to support you. So,
of course.
So the second person I would say is Simone, and absolutely wonderful.
Got one left.
And the third one,
drum roll.
Is one of my very first mentors in my working career, a former president of SIBSE, and that is Terry Wyatt. Now, Terry was a wonderful. I say wonderful because sadly, he passed away only a few weeks ago at the grand age of 89. And but yeah, sadly, he passed away. But Terry, he was a great inspiration to me. Really early on in my career, he gave me the opportunity to explore, to innovate, and to develop my thought process, my thinking process as well. So he, in a way, he taught me how to think as an engineer. So Terry would be my third.
Brilliant. That's fantastic. Who has been your most important professional mentor? And do you still have a mentor now, being the SIBSE president and the global leader for Mott MacDonald?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, mentoring and mentorship is so, so important throughout for all of us, wherever we are in our career. And I think really, again, there's a few people that come to mind, but the person I would have to choose is Tim Dwyer, who was our professor at London South Bank University. So a fantastic tutor, a fantastic teacher, and his teaching didn't stop when I graduated. So I've kept in touch with Tim for the last, I don't know, 25, 26, whatever years.
Yeah.
And he's always been there to help, to support, sometimes on the technical side, but also sometimes, you know, just having a beer with him and just having a chat and saying, I'm not so sure about this, Tim, what do you think? And he gives a really balanced, rounded view on the situation. Again, a bit of encouragement. We all need that from time to time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, my my most important professional mentor would have to be Tim Dwyer.
Yeah, brilliant, brilliant answer. So I touched upon it earlier that my dad gave me some advice to get a trade, and I became a plumber. And I made the leap into higher education as a mature student studying building service engineering part-time for 4 years at the University of Lancashire. Not sure if you're familiar with that.
Yes. Yeah.
I did all that while I was still working full-time at WSP. But I couldn't have done it without the support of my line manager at the time, Carl Harrop, and also I had a great mentor, the late Dr. Stephen Ingle. And so the juggle of projects, learning, and assignments was pretty intense for me. But I understand that you were sponsored to study your master's while also working as well, which must have been pretty tough. And while studying my degree, on two separate occasions, we traveled to the ASHRAE conference in both Chicago and Dallas.
Brilliant.
You're smiling. Yeah. Which was an eye-opening experience across academia and industry. And I was really interested to learn that you won the very first SIBSE ASHRAE Graduate of the Year Award back in 1996. So it's going to be fascinating to hear about your experience of winning the, you know, such a prestigious award, and also to understand what struggles and barriers that you may have encountered whilst working and studying. And also as well, final question, what support mechanisms did you have?
Right. Yeah. I mean, well, so I'm not sure which order to do those, but start with the challenges and the struggles, you know.
Yes.
So I actually was fortunate enough to do two master's degrees whilst I was working, not both at the same time, I hasten to add. So I did the master's in energy engineering at South Bank.
Okay.
And then I later on in my career, I did an MBA as well, which I did part-time on a modular basis.
Yeah.
So both pretty demanding degrees. And without a doubt, huge amount of support and encouragement from employer in both cases.
Yeah.
And also from the family, which is so, so important, especially when you've got young children, you know, growing up.
100%.
And, you know, it's really tough to get that balance.
Yeah.
And that really is the big challenge, is managing your time.
Yeah.
And actually getting the, how can I put it, being able to almost separate, compartmentalize some of your time, saying, well, this is study time, this is work time, this is family time. Really tough to do, but actually if you manage to achieve that, and I wouldn't say I did it brilliantly, but you know, that's, I think, a really great way to do it.
Yeah.
And especially for the MBA, or actually also it was for the MSc as well.
Uh-huh.
I was doing quite a bit of commuting by train. So I used that train time to do the studying, and to, you know, polish off some of the assignments or whatever.
Very smart thinking,
you know, trying to do it. So that undoubtedly was one of the big challenges, but huge amount of support from, you know, similar to yourself, from employer, and also I'm sure as well, similar to you, from your family for that time. I guess then thinking back to the Graduate of the Year Awards, you know, back all of those years ago, the deep, dark past.
Take your time.
I know, I'm trying to remember now.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, that was just such a wonderful experience. I mean, it was the first time the competition had run, so it was a really big unknown. But as a young graduate engineer, to actually go into a room. Now, the format for, when I participated in it was each of the finalists, so you give a submission in paper, and then they produce a shortlist of finalists. So each of the finalists, we had to go into a room which was had the judges, and the judges were the president of SIBSE, the president of ASHRAE, and other senior members of the engineering, you know, building service engineering community.
Yeah.
So who I'd never really met before.
Yeah.
So, and this is dating it. I walked in with my overheads for my overhead projector.
Oh, wow. This is how far back we're going.
Absolutely. So you go in there and you gave your presentation.
Yeah.
And we were given, I think it was 5 minutes. Yeah. And at 5 minutes, they just stopped you.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No grace time. And then no questions or answers.
Uh-huh.
You know, no Q&A time. You just go in, give you 5 minutes, and walk out.
Oh, wow. So you had no clue as how you performed or how you presented yourself.
And
of
course, they're all dead faced.
Were they really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That was, again, for a young person. That was pretty terrifying. But then, of course, you know, you have it was then a gala dinner afterwards, and then the awards was, you know, the winners were announced, and goodness me, that was just fantastic.
I bet
it was. I mean, I'm going to say it because it was completely unexpected, because you know, the other entrants were fantastic, and really good. So. Oh, I was just I wasn't really overwhelmed, but it was just such a wonderful moment.
I bet.
And again, then dating it, of course, I then had to go and find a telephone box to phone home.
Love it.
And let Simon know that I'd received the award.
Gosh. So,
absolutely brilliant.
Yeah. And what did you actually win? Was there a prize?
Yeah. I mean, it was a fantastic prize. So it was an all-expenses-paid trip to the ASHRAE winter meeting in Philadelphia.
Ooh.
And some spending money as well.
Oh, really?
Absolutely.
Terrific.
So it was absolutely wonderful. And for the whole trip, I was treated like a real VIP. Mm-hmm. And for the first time ever in my life, you know.
Yeah.
And it was just absolutely wonderful. And every meeting I went into at the ASHRAE conference, you know, I was greeted and introduced to people. And, you know, it was just amazing, you know, meeting people and being introduced to people like Ole Fanger.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Ole Fanger would come to, I was actually at the dinner. I was so pleased for you to win. It's just brilliant. And that experience of these people who were, from my perspective, so senior in our industry, for them to be so delighted to meet me and encourage me and to support me, that genuinely formed such a lot of my thinking and my personal outlook and ethos for the rest of my career.
Wow.
And even leading genuinely to, you know, my presidential theme of inspiring the next generation, because I really think, really, that is the most important thing that any of us can do.
Yeah, that's a fantastic story, a fantastic experience as well. Do you change the way, I mean, you mentioned there that the panel or even the SIBSE president at the time was there. Do you change how you... I mean, I'm assuming it's still running.
It is, absolutely.
Because if I'm an interviewer, if I'm talking to someone, or even if I'm mentoring someone, you smile. It's all about body language. But if you're sitting, brazen face, you know, like this, you know, not making eye contact, do you tend to change?
Yeah. So now, so we've made so many changes.
Yeah, that's good to hear.
I say we. I haven't been involved with them, but so many changes have been made. So, however, I was involved this year. Just gone, because they're held in October.
Yeah.
And so we meet the finalists beforehand and we have a chat with them and try to put them at ease. And now the awards have been extended. So not only do we have Graduate of the Year, but we also have Apprentice of the Year as well, because of the importance of the apprenticeship program, you know, to our industry and our profession.
Mm-hmm.
So meet all of the candidates beforehand, try to put them at ease as much as you can. Of course, have a bit of a joke with them or whatever.
Yeah.
Now they actually present to the whole auditorium.
Oh, wow.
So I'm not sure whether that's better or worse. So this year just gone, it was at the RIBA auditorium in center of London to well over 100 people sitting there, and with the judges in the front row. And we always managed to smile and nod and encourage, because we know it's a stressful experience, but we wanted to also to be have an element of enjoyment to it and for them to actually show their best side, you know.
Yeah.
So yes, we try to be a little bit more human now.
Yeah, I just got an image in my head there of like Britain's Got Talent or something with the buzzers. maybe you can put that in the suggestion
maybe for
box.
Next year. Yeah, absolutely. Brilliant.
Love it. In my career, I've been involved in some notable projects in the UK, Middle East, and of course, Australia and New Zealand across various sectors. As a plumber, I recall spending about 3 to 4 months working in Peterhead Prison up in the northeast of Scotland. I'm not sure if you're familiar with Peterhead.
Not the prison on the inside.
I hope not. And so we had to go up there and we're replacing conventional showers to the old, you know, the push valve type to prevent the prisoners from what they were doing, or flooding the accommodation wings constantly.
Really?
Just causing a strife, yeah. So incidentally, one of the last projects I worked on in the UK... I've been here now 11 years in April, was HMP Grampian, which was actually to replace the aging Victorian Peterhead prison. So it's kind of like a nice, you know, a nice segue, start and end of my career before emigrating to Sydney. So I'm sure throughout your career, there've been some very memorable projects or a project that you're most proud of, and why?
Yes. Well, I, as same as you, I've worked on so many projects throughout my career. I mean, it's been a very long and enjoyable career so far. Hopefully there's a lot more to come as well.
Yeah,
so,
I'm sure there is.
So, you know, I enjoy working on healthcare projects. You know, and so again, as a relatively young engineer, I got involved with the Bristol Royal Hospital for Sick Children.
Yeah.
And not only did I learn so much from that project about the real importance of great building services engineering, you know, so working on isolation suites where children were getting a chemotherapy treatment and they were immunosuppressed and, and knowing that the systems that I was helping to design and to be installed would hopefully, you know, help them to have better health outcomes. And to, you know, in a small way, being able to help in that, I find that hugely rewarding.
So
healthcare projects, I really, really enjoy getting involved with, and I have been lucky enough to work on lots. From a flash, I guess, perspective, my time in Dubai, of course, was, was very, very, almost speckled with some very glamorous projects. And, and the one there that for me stands out is the Louvre Abu Dhabi. A stunning project working with a star architect, Jean Nouvel. And again, the importance of great engineering, not just building services, but also structural engineering, waterproofing, you know, of course, so that the, to help with the aesthetics of the building, where do they store of the art? They store it in the basement below the waterline. So you've so you've got to have good waterproofing systems there. You've got to have really good construction and really good testing and inspection regimes as well. So the whole multi aspects of that project, I really, really enjoyed as well. And I had the pleasure of going around there with Ruth Carter, the CEO of Sibsi, just last year on our tour of the Middle East. And it is a beautiful, beautiful building as well.
Fantastic. So on the opposite end of the spectrum, are there any projects that you'd rather forget? And can you let us know why? And what did you learn from your experience?
Just thinking about any potential legal issues here. But no, I don't want this to come over wrong. But you know, every project, even projects that have got their challenges, as in the things go wrong. And let's face it, there's an awful lot in the construction industry that doesn't go right first time.
Yeah,
I genuinely believe we all learn from those. And you know, I've often said to team members, you know, it's not a matter of how you get into a difficulty, is how you get your way out of it.
That's right.
Yeah. As so, a team. As a team, absolutely. So, yeah, I've been in various projects, involved with various projects where, you know, things have not gone as expected. And we've all had to work really hard as a team to correct the course of the project and to get it over the line. But I guess as far as the worst projects that I mentioned healthcare projects before. And again, as a young engineer, my worst experience were going up into the loft of old hospitals to the water tanks. And finding all of the pigeons up there alive and dead, and all of the feces there and whatever. And, you know, to this day, I really do hesitate when I drink tap water in a lot of places as a result of that, because that was feeding the drinking water for in a hospital. So, yeah, I always double check if they got storage in the building, especially a hotel. And, yeah, if I don't think it's mains water, then I always kind of stick to the bottled water.
That's very interesting. You just reminded me, I can't remember who's told me this story, but it was someone who used to travel around Europe and globally, you know, around the world. And they were very sort of, you know, they were very adverse as to what you're just talking about, Legionella and stuff. So they used to walk into the room, they would open the shower, open the taps, and close the door and leave it running for like 5 minutes.
5 minutes.
Yeah, really, to just to get everything circulating and make sure there's nothing in the water. It's just, you know, you're in a hotel room, you don't know where you've been or how long the last person was in that room.
Very true.
And it's just stagnant water.
Yeah, so, exactly. So that's kind of marked me a little bit.
I understand that. So what's one lesson your job has taught you that you think everyone else should learn at some point in their lives? You're loving these questions,
well,
aren't you?
Absolutely. Very probing. It's actually, it's interesting. It's something I shared with the ECPs, the early careers professionals, this morning. In my first job So it was for working for Hawley and partners in Plymouth in the southwest of the UK.
Yeah.
And my first project was at Devonport Dockyard. Mm-hmm. So massive site. Of course, I can't go through too many details for security. No. It was an office block in there. And anyway, so as a young engineer, I'm very, very lucky because the client's project manager wanted to give young engineers a chance to have some site experience. Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
So myself, from a mechanical perspective, and my mate, Mike, from an electrical perspective, we went to site once a week and throughout the life of the project, which was an 18-month program. So it was really great, great experience.
100%, yeah.
One day I condemned a piece of pipework.
Right.
It had been installed dangerously. I'll tell you how it's installed in a minute. So I condemned it. Mm-hmm. And in those days, how do you do that? You write a letter.
Okay.
I condemned. Next week I go to the site, go into the porter cabin, the supervisor stands up, his chair falls over, he goes for me.
Really?
Picks me up by the lapels of my jacket and pins me against the wall.
Oh my goodness.
He's smoking a rolly, which was right in my face. And he goes, "What?" I won't say exactly what he said, but what the beep. "Have you done?" He said, "You've condemned pipe. I've been doing this job for 30 years. No one's ever condemned any of my work before you, little." So I said, "Right, okay, well, why don't we go and have a look at it?"
Right.
So we went up, and it was going up a staircase, four-story staircase with actually a gap in down the centre of the staircase.
Yeah.
There's some pipework coming down through the skylight with the isolation valve on it right above. And then there was going to be a suspended ceiling that goes in.
Yeah.
And I said, "Look, I don't think that's safe. You know, how'd you get, why don't you move the isolation valve lower down? It'd be a lot safer."
Yeah.
"You know, that's all I'm saying."
Yeah, yeah.
And he looked at me and said, "You know what? You're right. Huh. You're absolutely right, Kevin. We should have done that differently, and we will do it differently.
Yeah.
And we won't try to get a variation for that." Whatever. He said, "However, never write to me about something like that again. Always come and talk to me and we'll sort it out." So my lesson there was it's always good.
Yeah.
You know, the learning for me and the one that I try to share, especially with younger engineers, is it's really good to talk things through.
Of course.
Especially with people who've got a lot of experience and also clearly pride in their work as well.
Yeah.
And try to work together to resolve whatever you've spotted and you want to resolve. So,
That's fine. Yeah, I get it. Yeah. I think I spent a lot of time in sites as well in the past, and it's all about communication, you know.
Absolutely.
And usually you're walking around with the subbie or whoever it is, and you give them a heads up of what you're thinking, or, "Oh, this is my list, and a couple here maybe we should discuss before I put it formally."
Exactly.
You
know?
Yeah.
That's a really great approach.
And
very good.
Fantastic. I love it. So with International Women's Day being celebrated around the world just last week, what's your views based on your experiences with Moth MacDonald and from a SIBSE perspective on taking positive action to improve inclusivity and diversity within the field of building services engineering?
Well, I almost don't know where to start with this one because for me it's so, so important that we encourage and also enable a diverse and inclusive and an equitable work environment and community, whether that's a Mott MacDonald perspective or a SIBSE perspective.
Uh-huh.
And both organisations are working so, so hard to enable this and that's a bit weak, actually. Not just enable, to take positive steps to make this happen.
Mm-hmm.
Because we all know, we all know that inclusive and equitable communities are better communities.
Yes,
and we
of
really
course.
Must. And I don't think it's good enough to passively expect this is going to happen. I think we need to take some positive action to make sure that it does. And that's part of what I'm trying to do with one of our 125 challenges.
Yes.
And it's to share your own story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because I know there's an awful lot of people out there who look at engineering and potentially building services engineering and say, "Well, people like me, that's not something that people like I would do."
Yes.
Yeah. So I think by sharing our story and to say, "Well, look, I'm come from this background, I took this route or whatever, and I'm loving it. I'm really enjoying being a builder. So come and join us."
Yeah.
I think that really helps as well. Other things we're doing, we are actually setting criteria for membership of boards and panels, etc., within SIBSE to make sure we do get representation people with different backgrounds, etc. Yeah. Mm-hmm. SIBSE has an updated and refreshed EDI panel, mm-hmm. Equality, Diversity and Inclusivity panel.
Okay.
And that panel now, it has been for the last 11 months and it will be moving forward, is chaired by the immediate past president, mm-hmm. because we know that this is of the greatest importance for the institution as well.
Yeah.
So really positive, proactive steps being taken by both organisations.
That's fantastic to hear. So the next one is a little bit of a two-part question.
Ooh, right.
You've been involved with SIBSE for a very long time now, serving on various influential positions throughout your career journey. You're clearly driven and enthusiastic about making a difference with SIBSE. So what is your driving force in being so hands-on and supporting SIBSE in a voluntary capacity that you would like to share with engineers, no matter what stage of their career?
As we've already touched on, mm-hmm. or more than touched on, gone through in detail, my experience with, you know, the Graduate of the Year Awards, it really made me realise that actually this is a community, a really special community. I've often called it a family, actually, the SIBSE family, that it's really... I know it's a bit of a cliche, but the more you put in, the more you do get out.
Of course.
You know, and the more events you get involved with, the more things you learn, the more people you meet, etc. Yes, you've got to put a bit of effort in. But mm-hmm. I genuinely have found that, you know, what I get out far outweighs what I have to put in.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's really a big part of it. But and also, I think from having those conversations with people from a diverse background, whether they're I come from a pretty much a pure consulting engineering background, but talking to manufacturers, to contractors, you know, even the odd commissioning engineer, you know, you get a different perspective and you get a broader, much broader understanding of building services engineering.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if anyone's sitting out there listening and thinking, oh, I don't know if I should get involved, or, oh, I don't know if my input would be valued, my message is, please do get involved.
Yeah.
Your views, your inputs will be valued.
Yeah.
And I can guarantee you, you know, you will not regret it.
100%.
You will enjoy it.
Yeah, that's a great answer. I think from my personal experience, I've been involved for a long time. I was involved with SOFI and also SIBSE as well here in both sides of the world. It helps with public speaking. It helps with, you know, being in important meetings with directors of companies that you wouldn't normally sort of, know, socialize or mix with.
Absolutely.
And it increases your confidence as well.
It does.
And so I'm 100% with you. It's all about what you put in. It's what you get out of it as well.
Absolutely. You know, talking to those senior people, especially at an early, all the way through your career, you realize that we all want the same thing, really.
Yes.
We all want to move things forward together.
Yeah, make a difference.
It's very supportive.
Yes, 100%. Yeah. So serving as president of SIBSE, it must be extremely rewarding, but also very demanding on your role as the global practice leader for building services engineering giants Mott MacDonald. So can you share with our listeners your journey to becoming SIBSE president, and how supportive are Mott MacDonald on you being in your tenure right now, and have you enjoyed the experience? This is going to be a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but I'm sure the president's dinner must be rewarding for you, celebrating engineering success. And clearly one of the standout moments was when you presented me with the silver medal just
Absolutely.
Only last year in London. But seriously, has there been any standout moments for you?
So first of all, you know, the support that I get from Mott MacDonald is absolutely amazing. And of course, as they say on the BBC, other consulting engineers are available.
Yes. love it.
But it is brilliant.
Yeah.
The support from Mott's and professional and technical excellence is so important to the organisation.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't just talk about it. They actually do it as well.
Yeah.
So that's absolutely fantastic. So it'd be remiss of me not to say a big thank you to everyone at Mott MacDonald for supporting me.
Yes.
There is, however, also an awful lot of synergy between being the president of SIBSE and also the global practice leader for Mott. So, you know, Mott's community is worldwide. The SIBSE community is worldwide. So even on this... I'm saying with a smile on my face, the listeners won't be able to hit with a grueling tour of the last 2 weeks. So 3 days in Hong Kong, 1 day in Auckland.
Yeah.
I think I'm right. 3 days in Wellington, coming here for 2 days, going to Melbourne in 2 days, and then Perth. That's pretty grueling. You get the chance to meet wonderful colleagues from SIBSE and wonderful colleagues from Mott MacDonald. And actually – coming out of lockdown, coming out of COVID period, mm-hmm. you know, meeting people face to face and spending some time in the room with them mm-hmm. is just absolutely fantastic and so, so rewarding.
Yeah.
Now, as far as highlights, I know you were joking about the President's Awards dinner,
yeah.
but actually someone did ask me 2 weeks ago, I was asked to speak after a dinner and during the dinner they were saying, so what, you know, what it has been. I think the President's Award dinner is a very, mm-hmm. very special evening mm-hmm. in the CIBSE annual calendar. It's the opportunity for CIBSE as an organisation to say a very tangible thank you to yeah. all of the volunteers mm-hmm. who have served either as, you know, regional chairs or groups of society chairs, etc., for them to bring their partner with them.
Yeah.
It's a pretty special venue mm-hmm. As well, and to have, and also to award, you know, the silver and gold medals as mm-hmm. well, as along with some other prizes. Really great. I mean, I know I was up and down quite a bit to the podium doing a few speeches.
Yeah.
Luckily, there was a really great auto cue there, so yes. I could still have one glass of wine and the food was brilliant. And yeah, it was just a fantastic evening. Yeah. More generically, yeah, the highlight for me is I can get around and meet a load of people.
Yeah.
You know, and every conversation I have, again, I know it's a cliche, but I really do learn from those uh-huh. conversations. I really enjoy them.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm just a people person, really.
Love it. Great answer. As part of the CIBSE's 125 anniversary celebrations, you've launched the 5 CIBSE challenges to encourage action, communication and collaboration, inspiring those who are new to our industry, as well as raising our profile more widely to inspire more people to join us from a wide range of backgrounds that will ensure our industry reflects the communities we serve. So can you touch upon those 5 challenges and what have you learned from this?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when I had the initial discussions about would I be interested in standing up for election to become CIBSE president, mm-hmm. I couldn't believe I was being asked.
Yes.
I mean, genuinely, and because it's such a great honour. I did think about it long and hard and I obviously agreed. However, I said I didn't want to be a president who just rubber stamped mm-hmm. things. And yep. that's, I'm not suggesting any of my previous presidents took that approach.
Not at all. Yeah.
But I wanted to have a year where we actually did something,
yeah.
if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So hence we came up with the challenges.
Yes.
And the overall purpose of those challenges is to help to support, you know, my presidential theme of inspiring the next generation.
Mm-hmm.
And I genuinely think one of our biggest challenges is to bringing new people into our profession
yeah.
is one of communication.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, you know, we all know it's a brilliant career to have. We
yeah.
all know how, you know, I don't know, we help to provide better health outcomes, better education, more enjoyable sporting activities. We know that, you know, we have the opportunity to travel worldwide or mm-hmm. whatever. We know that, you know, as building services engineers, we can help to reduce the carbon impact of the built environment, etc.
Mm-hmm.
But not many other people know about that.
Mm-hmm.
So, hence we over a long time formulated these 5 challenges. At first, I wanted 6, one every 2 months, but I was encouraged for 5 because, of course, CIBSE is only 5 letters.
Yes.
So,
okay.
So they're easy to remember.
Yeah.
And we did. We have to own the title of them. But uh-huh. the first one is celebrate, to celebrate your building services icons. And that really is, it could be a person, could be someone who's inspired you.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a building, a technique, or even a tool, the humble ductulator for some, who knows. But, you know, to talk about, you know, and celebrate your building services icons. The next one is to inspire future engineers. And this is really encouraging our members to go into schools, colleges, university, and to share with the students there about buildings, what we do and the great opportunities that a career
yeah.
in building services engineering can provide.
Uh-huh.
The next one is to boost, and this is to boost the development of your early careers engineers, because
mm-hmm.
getting young people to join us in as building services is a great first step.
Yeah.
But if we don't actually keep on developing them and giving them new opportunities
mm-hmm.
and some potentially stretch targets, then we might not retain them. So I think
yes.
it's really important that we boost the career of ECPs.
Mm-hmm.
The next one is to share your story. And I touched on that earlier. And I think
yeah.
that is really, really important. When I read the stories, the journeys that so many of our colleagues have had.
Yeah.
And when they share that, whether it's on LinkedIn or whether it's on the SIBSE website or whether it's, you know, in a conversation,
yeah,
you know, it's just absolutely amazing. Uh-huh. I really love that. Yeah. Hearing those stories.
Yeah.
And as I said earlier, I think each one of us, our story will resonate with tens of others who are thinking, goodness me, that sounds a bit like me. Why don't I try that?
Yes.
So I think that's really important. Uh-huh. And the last one is to engage with our peers to share how building service engineers can make such a positive impact on reducing climate change and the great, you know, opportunity we have there as building service engineers. So that's it. There's the five challenges that spell obviously SIBSE, C-I-B-S-C.
Love it. Here's a tagline for you. There's never been a better time to be a building services engineer.
Brilliant. I like it. Yeah, well, I'm going to write it down. Yeah.
That's not from me. That's Steve Hennessy. What's the biggest challenge that you're facing in your role right now, and how are you tackling that?
So, I mean, without a doubt, and this actually does link into the Inspire the Next Generation, it is resource constraints.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I mean, and I know this isn't just a Mott MacDonald challenge, it's not just a SIBSE challenge. And it's not just a UK or North America challenge. Mm-hmm. You know, it's something that we are all facing. And I think we've got to find ever more creative ways of helping to provide more routes into engineering.
Yes.
And also more efficient solutions as well, whether they're digital solutions or whether they're, you know, standardization or whether it's, you know, dare I say it, collaborating, even potentially with your competitors, you know, and working together more efficiently and more effectively.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, so it's got to be a combination of all of those things.
Yes.
But I'm confident we will get there.
Oh, yeah.
The great news is, of course, it means there's a massive demand for building service engineering.
Exactly.
Which I think is just brilliant.
Yes, without a doubt. So you touched upon it earlier in our discussion that you're no stranger to travel and experiencing different cultures. A good example is your current tour of the Asia-Pacific region, which you just touched upon a few seconds ago. Plus, of course, when you lived and worked in Canada, plus the Middle East, where I understand you gain experience leading multi-desk teams and responsible for the delivery of engineering services on large-scale projects in extreme environments. So can you inform our listeners what your key takeaways from your current visit to the region has been and why?
Yes, yeah. I mean, this tour of the Asia-Pacific region is, I mean, we're only halfway through, but it's been so rewarding so far.
Yeah.
You know, just meeting all of the dedicated, enthusiastic members of SIBSE is been fantastic. I mean, the welcome we had in Hong Kong was absolutely phenomenal.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it really, really was wonderful.
Can you describe that?
Oh, just, I mean, all the way from being picked up at the airport to being, you know, taken to our hotel, every single step of the way we were treated. In fact, when we were picked up from the airport, we were told, oh, I'm lucky I'm able to be. We all wanted to come to pick you up.
Oh, really?
I mean, it was just wonderful. Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, that was, it was certainly heartfelt.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the attendance at meetings, at lunches, at dinners. Oh, my God. We did eat an awful lot, mind you. So, I should have done a weigh-in before my tour and the weigh-in afterwards, because I think, yeah, unfortunately, I might have put a little few pounds on. But the, yeah, absolutely wonderful. And the enthusiasm for and the commitment to SIBSE was absolutely fantastic. Then, of course, New Zealand. Wow. Again, a fantastic reception. And also a lot of local institutions and bodies really keen to meet with SIBSE and to get to know and understand what we do, how we can contribute to, let's say, the registration of engineers in New Zealand or the development of low carbon guidance in New Zealand. Really great. Really, we've been blown away by that openness and acceptance. We're just very keen that we're seen as, which we are, naturally, collaborative and supportive.
Yes.
You know, we believe that at SIBSE, we've got a community of excellent building service engineering worldwide. So we can provide that deep engineering knowledge. We don't necessarily have the local context as an organisation. That's why I think it's key that we do collaborate. And then, of course, you know, coming in last night to Sydney, and, you know, the warm welcome we've had here as well. And the event this evening, I think, will be absolutely wonderful as well. So
sure.
just wonderful. I must admit, we are all rather exhausted. Not quite sure what time it is or what day it is. But, you know, as long as everyone bears with us and everyone's been very kind so far, then, yeah, I think we'll be fine.
Yeah, yeah. Fantastic. So with all your traveling that you do in your role, or your global role, you must be reading a lot, I'm assuming. And I'm currently reading a book called Playing to Win by Lafley and Martin, which I just can't put down right now. It's actually in my bag over there. And it's all about how strategy really works, which I find fascinating. That's my role now anyway. Nice. So what three books would you recommend to those listening and why?
What I recommend? Well, I'm not sure about that, but I would say... for this tour, I did actually put three books in my case, because I was very much aware this tour is really high pressure, but we really are going for it. So I brought two books, fictional.
Yep.
Yeah. So, and I've got to preface this by, I'm not actually an avid reader, not normally. So a little bit on the light side, but this is Jack Higgins and the Sean Dillon series. So, I've already finished one, so I'm onto the second one. So, a little bit about, you know, I don't know, spies and espionage and things like that. Just nice to switch off and just
take your mind off things.
Yeah,
the pressure.
Absolutely. And certainly when you're on the plane or whatever, and just helps you to go to sleep a little bit. So, so that's really quite interesting and enjoyable. And then from a non-fiction perspective, I've brought a book called The Future of the Professions by Siskind and Siskind.
Right.
I think they're a father and son team.
Yes.
And they've done a huge amount of research about how technology, and especially AI, is going to affect the future of the professions. And they've gone through quite scientifically interviews with, I believe it's 11 professions, all the way from accounting to surgeons to engineers, and assessed or interviewed the professions, saying, well, how do you think technology is going to affect you in the future? So fascinating read. Yeah. And personally, I think, you know, digital solutions and AI, they're both going to play a big part of our future.
Of course.
And I think those of us in our community who really do try to understand, and I'm going to say harness, maybe that's too strong, but utilize digital and AI techniques, I think we're going to really be rewarded by that. So,
Nice answer. That's the way forward, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yes. So it's been a little bit serious now. I mean, but well, let's change the sort of the vibe a little bit. But what's a funny story that your family tells about you that you'd like to share?
Oh, goodness me. I'm not sure. Well, a very short one, but it's one that my mum likes to talk about every now and then, which is when I was a small kid and in going shopping.
Yes.
In a department store, I think it was. So I must have been, I don't know, 4, 5, or 6, walking along, got a bit distracted, put my hand up to my mum standing next to me, held her hand, walking along a bit, stopped, looked up, and it wasn't my mum.
Ah.
And I start wailing.
Yeah, did you?
So, of course, my mum was only a few steps away, so she quickly came and calmed down. So, yes, she likes to embarrass me sometimes by telling people. So now, of course, she's not able to tell that story anymore because everyone knows about it.
Okay. So you kind of touched upon the next question a little bit with your legacy at Sibsy and what you've been producing and stuff. But if you could be remembered for one thing, and it's not, that didn't have to necessarily be Sibsy or even Mott's as well, but if you could be remembered for one thing, what would it be and why?
Well, yeah, I think I'll go for almost the predictable answer, I'm afraid.
Yes.
But it really is, I'd really like to be remembered for helping to positively raise the profile of building service engineers.
Yeah.
You know, I genuinely believe, and now I know I'm biased, of course, but, you know, we are the unsung profession, really. Engineering in general, but specifically building service engineers, the contribution we make to society, I really think is phenomenal. And you know, I want everyone to know about it, not because I want us to have pats on back or whatever, although one will be pleasant every now and then, but it is really to encourage others to join us and to be part of it.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah, that would be it, I guess.
Lovely answer. And finally, Kevin, to wrap up, I have to ask, what's the one question you wish that I asked you, and how would you have answered it?
So I've got two. One's a slightly flippant one. The
oh, yeah?
First one, you didn't ask me what I'd like to drink.
Well, we'll find out later.
Absolutely. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
But on a serious note, you didn't ask about the great work that SIBSE and our profession are doing on the route to zero carbon.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand why you didn't ask that question, because it will probably be a very, very long answer.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, I'm really proud of some of the work that SIBSE is doing in body carbon now,
mm-hmm.
for buildings. So TM65,
yeah.
Not only a UK document, but, you know, the ANZ
That's
version
right.
has mm-hmm. has been published, and mm-hmm. we're working, collaborating with ASHRAE on a North American
mm-hmm.
Version. And just a few days ago, we're talking to Engineering New Zealand about, are they interested in a New Zealand specific version? Hong Kong Institute of Engineers are interested as well. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, we're really seen as having a leadership position on the embodied carbon in building
yeah.
services.
Uh-huh.
And then also in something we're doing in the UK at the moment, but it potentially has scalable as such to other locations, is mm-hmm. we're working with partners such as Reba, Leti, iStructy, et cetera, on a UK net zero carbon building standard.
Mm-hmm.
So how to assess and certify buildings as net zero carbon. It's something which I think is really fantastic, and it's great to see SIBSE taking a leadership view on. So that's what I, in a way, would have asked, but I'm glad you've given me the opportunity to ask myself that.
Lovely. Kevin, thank you so much for joining us today. It's really been inspiring, fascinating, and enthusiastic. It's even been personable as well. It's been a pleasure, and I hope that you've enjoyed it. And I'm sure everyone tuning in will agree that it's been also quite entertaining. So Thank you very much, Kevin.
Well, thanks ever so much, Paul. I must admit, I was a little bit nervous about it, but I've had a really great time here. So thank you ever so much.
Fantastic. I'm Paul Angus. You've been listening to Talking Buildings. Thank you for listening.
You've been listening to Talking Buildings, a SIBSE Australia and New Zealand production. You can download previous episodes or subscribe to future ones by searching SIBSE Talking Buildings, that's CIBSE, on your favourite podcast app.